Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. We have for you now the encore appearance of a guest who absolutely captivated our audience back on June 2nd when he made his debut appearance on our award-winning nationally syndicated radio program. I am, of course, talking about former DEA agent Robert Mazur, who spent 5 years, just to give you a quick reminder, spent 5 years undercover infiltrating the criminal hierarchy of Colombia's drug cartels. The dirty bankers and businessmen he befriended, some of whom still shape power across the globe, knew him as Bob Mazula, a wealthy, mob-connected big shot living the good life. Together, they partied in $1,000 per night hotel suites, drank bottles of the world's finest champagne, drove Rolls Royces, and flew in private jets. But under Mazur's Armani suits, recorders quietly whirred, capturing and the damning evidence of their crimes. Then, at a staged wedding, Robert Mazur led the dramatic takedown that shook the underworld. In the end, more than 80 men and women were charged worldwide. Operation Sea Chase became one of the most successful undercover operations in the history of U.S. law enforcement, and the evidence gathered there proved critical to the conviction of General Manuel Noriega. When Robert Mazur was first on our show, ladies and gentlemen, we focused primarily on his excellent book, The Infiltrator, which is the story of how this man helped bring down the unscrupulous bankers who manipulated complex international finance systems to serve drug lords, including Pablo Escobar. And now he is back with us tonight. But folks, again, I want to replug that book, which is filled with dangerous lies, near misses, harrowing escapes. The Infiltrator is as bracing and explosive as the greatest fiction thrillers, only it's all true. And again, we're delighted and honored to have the man who made that history, Robert Mazur. Bob, all that being said, welcome back, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you so much for the invitation to come back.
Certainly the pleasure is all ours. And with that being said, the introduction now behind us, I'm going to turn you back over to my co-host, Eddie Miller, who has been diligently preparing for your return. And Eddie, Mr. Mazur is all yours.
Well, good morning. Good night, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob. You know, I feel like I know you almost. You know, we've emailed back and forth, and I'm really excited tonight on the verge of being nervous, I guess. You know, me and James, the people here at the cesspool of we feel really honored. I'm going to have to kind of brag a little bit because I feel like we were one of the first people around to get you on our network before this big banking scandal bust upon the scene here, this HSBC. Yeah, I had told James earlier, we had all kinds of stuff happening here at the cesspool. We're small and we have a lot of volunteers. We have a big audience now. And I couldn't wait to get you back on. But I was telling James that at first we were going to probably focus on Fast and Furious. But that was before this big HSBC banking scandal broke. And I tell you what, Bob, everything in your book, so many things in your book, and James forgot to mention the movie. We need to plug your movie, too, before it's over with. But so many things that you talked about and told us about the first night you were on this program have really come to pass. And with that, I'm going to ask you, where do you want to start now? You want to start with the HSBC scandal, or do you want to start with Fast and Furious, Bob?
No, let's talk about HSBC because just broke this week, and it's a pretty interesting case that your listeners can follow on the internet. The Senate subcommittee that's been investigating HSBC, of course, they are just one of the many arms of investigations that have been focused on HSBC. There has also been a federal grand jury in New York that has focused on possible criminal offenses by officers of the bank. But the bottom line of it is everybody can Google Senate Subcommittee HSBC maybe findings or something along those lines, and you'll come up with about a 300 plus page report that just came out that gives you every single little detail, which. And you're 100% right, Eddie. It mirrors the conduct of the officers of the Bank of Credit and Commerce International that I dealt with and senior bank officials in another 10 or 12 other banks that have been caught with their hands in the cookie jar and have admitted to criminal offenses. HSBC has now been exposed for having been involved in what probably will amount to the largest money laundering on behalf of the Mexican cartels that any institution can be associated with.
And Bob, not to cut you off, but I'd like to tell the audience that if I'm not mistaken, you correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, HSBC is the largest bank in Europe. Is that true? I believe I'm right on that.
Yeah, I think they're the 10th. Their presence here in the United States is about the 10th largest in this country, and HSBC is in fact the largest, I think, bank in based in the UK.
Okay.
Even though it's called Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation, HSBC, but any of your listeners who've been through an airport and look up onto the gangways at the airport when you walk from the plane to the airport, generally HSBC has advertisement both externally and internally in those gangways talking about how they are the bank of the world.
I've seen it. I've seen it myself, Bob.
Yeah, their New York office is, both their New York and their Miami office are the focal points of the investigations by the Senate subcommittee and many other bodies. There are two U.S. attorneys' offices, one in, I think it's in Virginia, the other one is in New York, plus the Federal Reserve, plus the New York District Attorney's Office, all have their guns aimed at HSBC. You know, this, for me, really isn't anything new. I started writing articles about this type of conduct that had been published in the New York Times about 2 years ago, and other major news outlets. And what I was writing about at the time was that if the U.S. government simply focused their resources on obtaining the records that are contained within the Federal Reserve and worked their way backwards with respect to the repatriation of U.S. dollars around the world, they would be able to, if they followed it backward, to identify the banks around the world that collect the U.S. currency and then sell it back to the Federal Reserve. And if they worked with the central banks in these other nations and therefore obtained the information about who precisely, which banks were providing it, and then worked and got the information about which account holders at those banks in those countries were providing the currency, they would be identifying the world's biggest money launderers. In Lebanon in 2009, there was a spike of currency repatriation from Lebanon that doubled during that year. And what we saw in that instance by following the money backward was that the U.S. government was able to substantiate that a little bank, little relatively speaking, called the Lebanese Canadian Bank, was in fact a huge recipient of U.S. currency that was being collected by companies throughout North Africa, the Middle East. And these companies were all ultimately identified to be associated with major players in Hezbollah,
sure,
who were working in conjunction with the Colombian drug cartels and
Bob,
the Mexican
let me ask you,
drug
not
cartels.
To interrupt you, let me ask you a quick question, if you don't mind. Listen, you know, you speak about the federal. We're going to a commercial. I can't wait to get you back after this commercial, Bob. Just hang tight, fella, and I can't wait to get you back on.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, I'm basically just truly a glorified host in, with regards to this interview. Basically, my role tonight is to bring you in and out of breaks this hour because Eddie the Bombardier Miller is the one who has done all the research into crafting this encore interview with the great Bob Mazur. And if you're enjoying what you're hearing from former DEA agent Bob Mazur so far tonight, don't forget there's more of Bob in the broadcast archives. Go back to the program dated June 2nd of this year. And folks, that was truly one of the most remarkable interviews in the entire series, spanning 8 years of this award-winning broadcast. But more to come this evening, but don't forget a major Hollywood movie, most likely in the works, featuring the life and times of the man who lived it, the man who was on our program this evening, Bob Mazur. And with that, Eddie, back over to you.
Okay. And Bob, I don't want to interrupt you too much. We've got about, James said we got to let you go at 8:45. That'd be 9:45 Eastern. But I just want to ask you a question or two. And I want to ask you not to forget maybe to let the audience know where a lot of this dirty money is coming from the drug gangs, from places like North Korea, you know, from Iraq, you know, rogue states that we're supposed to be enemies with. And maybe if you can work that in, I was going to ask you your opinion, Bob. You mentioned the Federal Reserve a minute ago. In your opinion, how much, if any, foreknowledge of this corruption did the Federal Reserve know about?
Well, in my view, there definitely are people within the Federal Reserve who should have decades ago recognized that the repatriation of U.S. currency from critical locations such as Colombia and the Middle East certainly had to be associated with the underground empire of criminal activity. I addressed in my book a scene where I was with one of the senior managers of the Bank of Credit and Commerce International that was at the time the seventh largest privately held bank in the world. They had locations in 72 countries throughout the world. They had more than 15,000 employees. And they were very, very vigorously involved in soliciting money from the underworld. They knew exactly where the drug proceeds were being generated, and they went right after it to try to increase the deposits that were made to the bank. And as I was at a in a social club at about 2 o'clock or so in the morning with one of these senior bank officials. He said to me, you know, do you know who the biggest money launderer in the United States is? And I, you know, as a very young and aggressive agent at the time, you know, I my mind stood up and I was waiting to hear.
Let me guess.
I was
going
to be able to come back with the best case in the world. And he said, well, of course it's the Federal Reserve. And I said, well, what do you mean the Federal Reserve? That doesn't make any sense. And he said, well, sure it does. Don't you realize that the central bank in Colombia, the Bank of the Republic, that's their equivalent to the Federal Reserve, repatriates into the United States literally tens of billions of dollars a month. And
wow.
Don't you think that someone at the Federal Reserve, because that's who the central banks maintain, central banks around the world and many other member banks maintain relationships with the Federal Reserve, and they repatriate U.S. dollar currencies back in. And the Bank of the Republic was sending in untold amounts. He said, don't you think they know that there is, in fact, and at the time there was, your listeners can Google this and they can find it. It was used to be called the anonymous window or the sinister window at the Bank of the Republic and in Colombia. And you could bring as many dollars as you wanted and could anonymously exchange it for Colombian pesos. And, of course, that left them with literally container loads of cash that needed to be brought back to the United States to be deposited with the Federal Reserve to increase the bank balances of the central bank in Colombia. And his argument to me was, don't you think that there's someone there who realizes that this outrageously abnormal amount of cash that's coming back from Colombia must be related to the drug trade? What else could it possibly be related to? And they accept this money openly and continuously. And really, that's what happens today, and that's what you see in the HSBC case. Do you realize that HSBC, based upon the Senate subcommittee's report, was repatriating $300 billion a year in U.S. currency back into the United States? And if you focus strictly on the areas that are very, very well known to be the collection points of drug proceeds, drug cash, U.S. dollars, Mexico, many nations in North Africa, because that's North Africa, the nations of North Africa are really the Mexico of the Colombian cartel's distributions of cocaine into Europe. So between North Africa and Mexico and certain other key countries like Guatemala and Honduras, that's where most of the U.S. currency picked up, Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras is where most of the currency that's picked up in the United States, and I used to do this in an undercover capacity. We used to receive $1 million, $2 million a day.
Wow.
In various cities, and that was expected to be laundered. In the way that it's done now is it's most often smuggled across the very poorest border we have to our south and taken into nations and then propped up in businesses like houses of exchange, where they call them casas de cambio in Mexico, and made to look legal, and then they bring the money back into the United States. So now we have, with respect to HSBC, in those centers alone, $40 billion a year being collected, and their profits on that are roughly $160 million. All of this is spelled out in the 300-plus page report, not just as it relates to the bulk currency business, but also other types of services that were being provided by HSBC, identical to the types of private client division services that were being provided to me when I was in an undercover capacity infiltrating the Medellin cartel and the Bank of Credit and Commerce International. So it's pretty frustrating because I think that had the Federal Reserve had an interest not so much in the profits but more in the benefit of the Americans and the citizens of this country, there might have been a freer flow of information with respect to this bulk currency repatriation. I've been beating the drum for years trying to get people to focus on that. After my article appeared in the New York Times, I got calls from several Senate subcommittees inquiring about it and how I would suggest that they go about doing it. And I'm very, very proud internally of the fact that some of those very same legal counsel within those Senate subcommittees that inquired about it have been involved in the HSBC investigation and others where they now are focusing on that. And I think it's an extremely important piece to identify which institutions and which businesses around the world are catering to the drug cartels.
Well, Bob, let me interrupt you just for one second. First of all, I would like to say I'm not saying this lightly, I too am extremely proud of you. I'm extremely proud of having you on our program here. I know of no higher caliber guest we've ever had. And I'll also chime in to say that only by the grace of God Almighty are you still alive talking to us, because I know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, there has been scores of people murdered for doing less than just writing about what you have done. And one of the people that comes to mind is this Gary Webb. You may or may not be aware of him. I'm going to ask you a question about him. He was the one of the lead reporters of the San Diego Mercury Star, and he published a series of articles called Dark Alliance, the CIA's affiliation with the Bloods and the Crips in Los Angeles, California. And that leads me to the question I'm going to ask you, Bob. In your opinion, do you think we have... we've got to go to another break. I hate to go to this break, Bob. Hang on. I want to ask you this question when we come back. Man, you're a dynamite guest. So we're going to a break, Bob. Hang on, fella.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs, and there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Yeah. We've been working hard, babe.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. Ladies and gentlemen, this is truly one of those nights that you just don't want the radio show to come to an end. But alas, all good things must. We do have one final segment with the amazing Robert Mazur, and I want to give you this website. I want you to remember it, and more importantly than that, I want you to visit it frequently. The-Infiltrator.com. The Infiltrator. The-Infiltrator.com. There you can learn more about the book and learn more about Robert Mazur's secret life inside the dirty banks behind Pablo Escobar's cartel. You can learn more about the movie I mentioned earlier, the movie based on the book. You can find out about upcoming events by the title and even contact the author, our incredible guest this evening. Eddie, one final segment with Bob Mazur tonight, at least. I'll turn it back over to you, my friend.
And before I get back to the business, Bob, I would just like to tell you once again, not to kick a dead horse, but I just can't tell you how honored I am to have you on this show. I can tell people I'm a really good character judge. And Bob, I consider you a sterling citizen. You got more guts than anybody I could imagine. I could not imagine working under the situations that you worked in without – I would have got caught by being nervous. And I'd also like to say I hope you and your wife had a nice end. I think you had a nice had an anniversary not too long ago. Hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, we did.
Anyway,
thank
with that,
you.
Bob, I'd just like to tell people one more time, we need to see the movie. Bob has that great book that James is talking about, and I'm sure that movie will be dynamite. I guarantee you I'm going to see it. Now, Bob, I'm going to ask this last question, and then I'm going to shut up and let you go anywhere you want to go. You've been doing a stellar job, bang-up job. I was getting to, from what I've read and heard and from different people, there's pretty much of a government inside a government in this here United States. We have the CIA, and probably inside the CIA we have rogue elements. I know there's good people in the CIA, for instance, like a friend of a friend of ours, Bill Colby, who was the head of the CIA. I feel confident he was murdered. He was too close to the Senator John DeCamp in his investigation involved, like with the book he wrote with the Franklin cover-up. But in your opinion, how much knowledge does the CIA have? Did they have? Do they have now? How dirty are their hands in this this drug smuggling, running interference for the banks with their dirt laundering of money? And with those questions, I'm going to shut up, Bob. And you carry it on from now to the finish line, fella.
Okay. Well, the funny thing that I think I experienced working as an undercover agent and being within the drug world and dealing with the international banks is that I came to see the corrupt segments of the international banking community to be somewhat of a crossroads. It was a crossroads that met the highest levels of the international leaders of the international drug trade, but also corrupt politicians, and also, unfortunately, the intelligence communities of the world. My financial advisor at the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, the man who openly knew that the funds that I was dealing with were the billions of dollars generated by the Medellin cartel, was also the financial advisor for Manuel Noriega.
Wow.
And was helping him to launder the $50+ million in currency that Noriega received for paying, for basically allowing the cartel to use Panama as a crossroads for the distribution of their drugs and for the laundering of their money. But not only was that intelligence community, because he was a CIA resource, Manuel Noriega, but not only was that intelligence angle there, but that particular bank officer, his name was Amjad Awan, his father was the head of the ISI in Pakistan. And the ownership of the bank included one of its major shareholders was the former head of Saudi intelligence. And as I sat in meetings and recorded conversations, the Amjad Awan admitted to me that he was the paymaster for the CIA to the of the funds that were filtered to the Mujahideen at the time in their efforts to fight the invasion of the Russians into Afghanistan. So there's absolutely no doubt that, at least from my personal experience, that the intelligence communities exploit the same corrupt bankers that the drug world also exploits. And the Bank of Credit and Commerce International itself was a vehicle for the development of profits that were then filtered to the ISI to promote what's called their black ops, which would be their intelligence operations that were funded privately from other sources than official government sources, to be able to do things that governments cannot afford to endorse. So, yeah, there is unfortunately a very, very, I think, tangled web between the intelligence community and the drug world when it comes to the exploiting of profits and using it for their goals. And there's no doubt in my mind that with respect to some of the people within the intelligence community, that's really kind of their view is the ends justify the means to try to accomplish those things. But I don't think we can or should operate as a democracy with that type of mentality of allowing a government within a government. So that, I would hope that those, and I think this is true with respect to most of the public servants who work within the CIA and for U.S. intelligence agencies, I think they embrace the same feeling that I did, which was that, hey, I want to be a part of making a difference. And making a difference for me was to be as close to being in the trenches as I possibly could and getting as close to the highest level bad guys that I could possibly get myself close to so that I could feed that information back to law enforcement and enable them to prosecute individuals. I worked for three different agencies. It never bothered me what color my badge was or what style my badge was. When I took an oath within those agencies, I took an oath to serve the public. I took an oath to serve my fellow countrymen. And that's where I had my allegiance. My allegiance was to be able to look my neighbors, my friends, or strangers in the face in this country and say, you know what, I did the best I could possibly do for you today.
Well, Bob, that begs the question. What you just told me, and I hope I'm not interrupting you, but you've got me, I'm really excited about this. Let me ask you this question here. Now, and I know you are a good guy. I know that probably most of the people in the intelligence communities are good. Did you ever feel like your investigations were compromised? Do you ever feel like that your life was put in danger because of people that had gone rogue, people that had become bad cops, so to speak?
Well, no doubt. After the undercover operation that I addressed in the book, that was like the first real 2 years of long-term undercover that I did. I went back after that. I prepared for trials for 2 years. I testified around the world for 2 years, and then I was recruited by the Drug Enforcement Administration to go back undercover, and I went back undercover for another 2.5 years. Someday maybe I'll write a book about that, but back undercover for that next 2.5 years, the agent who was assigned to work with me, little did I know, was at the time that he was put with me, although he had gotten some of the highest awards that anyone could. He was the Officer of the Year for the entire city of Tampa. He was a DEA task force agent, but he was on the payroll of the cartel. And he almost got me killed in that other operation. I worked undercover around the world and including in Colombia. And little did I know, he had outed me, and some of the people that I was attempting to meet with in Colombia, who probably, if they could have gotten their hands on me, would have kidnapped me, would have probably ended my government career. So, unfortunately, those things do happen, but I like to think that there are more individual rogue things than they are master plan rogue things that happen because of a mentality amongst a large group. I think that they're more likely a situation where it's an individual or a couple of individuals who lose their moral compass and wind up endangering the lives of others.
You know, Bob, with that, you know, I would just like to also throw something in there. Let me see how much time we're getting close to the end, but I was going to ask you, tell you, or just throw this out. You had to work. We're getting ready to go to another commercial break, Bob. I don't know how much time we're going to have, but I'm hoping and praying we can get you back on before too much longer. And thank you, Lord. If you ever need me, Bob, I think you have my private number. If you don't, I'll send you an email. And with it, you call me anytime, day or night. With that, we've got to go to a break.
The great Bob Mazur, everybody. Check him out, the-infiltrator.com. We'll be talking more about Bob after this break.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to allow... I want you to let sink in what you just heard. I mean, ladies and gentlemen... Robert Mazur, former DEA agent, part of the biggest, according to FBI, former FBI Director Robert Mueller, biggest undercover operation in law enforcement history. I mean, this guy was the kingpin of it, Robert Mazur. On our show, for the second time, a movie is being made about his true life story. and he pulled no punch tonight. And as Eddie the Bombardier Miller would say, we've been doing this for 8 years. I mean, as far as Eddie's concerned, as in his capacity as a co-host, this was the dream interview for Eddie Miller.
I'm telling you what, James, people, you people that are tuned into the political cesspool tonight, what you heard Bob Mazur say in all of his experience as a DEA agent, all the interviews he's had, what he told you tonight and told us is the first time that's ever come out of his mouth. The information that he voluntarily, even I questioned him, and he voluntarily told us, yes, people, the Federal Reserve is filthy, rotten, dirty. That's my words. The Federal Reserve knows all about the drug money, all these banks. Let me just read you just a few banks that have been implicated. Besides HSBC, the largest bank in Europe, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Barclays of England, Bear Stearns, New York, of course, the New York Federal Reserve, Bernard Madoff was in there. He was just, Bernard Madoff was just a little Patsy Fall guy. Timothy Geithner, Wachovia Bank, Wells Fargo, and the person I have a personal hate on for, American Express. All these people have been involved in this crap. And if we'd had time, I would like to ask Bob Mazur how it felt to know he's working for people like Eric Holder, who is the Attorney General of the United States. Eric Holder, who's recently been caught personally, along with his boss Obama, their full knowledge and their full instigation of smuggling of the guns across the Mexican border and smuggling the drugs back across the Mexican border into the United States. And we're talking about semi-tractor trailer loads of drugs and arms, people. We're not talking about a gun here or there. And they did it for multiple purposes. One of the main purposes that they got the guns across the smuggled into Mexico was to make the Second Amendment look bad, to show all these murders on TV and the newspapers and tell people, look, we've got to get rid of the Second Amendment. We've got to do away with these guns. Look at all the crime it's causing. And that was the whole reason. Listen, this Eric Holder guy, I'll show you how dirty he was. People, when Eric Holder, the guy who's he's the district attorney of the United States right now, that's people that Bob's have to work against. Listen, he was instrumental. Eric Holder, when he was the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, he is the one that ordered the FBI to give the dynamite to Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols to blow up the Murrow Trade Center building. And really and truly, the main charges were placed way before Timothy McVeigh even got there. He was just a fall guy, patsy. If we had about 15,000 more hours, like, we could go into in depth about how the Murrow Trade Center building was blown. But the point I'm trying to make is, these are the people running our country, people. The Eric Holders of the world, the Obamas. They're cold-blooded, stone-cold killers. They are corrupt to the very core. If you want to talk about a Satan worshiper, I mean, you could do no better than to talk about these people. I mean, and let me tell you something else. You know why they picked Oklahoma City? They picked it. It came down to Phoenix, Arizona, a federal building, in Oklahoma City. They picked Oklahoma City. This is how evil these people are, people. They picked Oklahoma City because it had a large nursery there. And they wanted baby parks to be splattered all over the TV to whip the American people into a frenzy against the patriot community and the evangelical Christians. With that, folks, I'm going to turn you. I'm kind of hot right now. I'm going to turn you over to James right now.
Look at take a shower.
Eddie's going to go take a shower and take his blood pressure medicine. He knows he's not allowed to cuss on the air, so we got to pull him before he gets out of hand here. But no, Eddie, I tell you, you brought up the Oklahoma City story. You would have loved. I know you were traveling over here tonight, and you unlike everybody else in Memphis, weren't tuned into the show on the way over. But right. But the guy that came on was. He's the author in the second hour of a book entitled Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. And he was talking about, have y'all ever heard of Senator John DeCamp? And I was like, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. And he was talking about Oklahoma City, and he mentioned Stanley Monteith, Pat Shannon. Listen, you got to listen to that in the archives, as everyone could do. Ben, do we have Pete Stanton on the line yet? Okay, he said he was trying to call in, and folks, you'll have to forgive me for having a conversation with my producer here. I know you can only hear one end of it, but our correspondent Pete Stanton, allegedly, according to his text message to me, was trying to call in, but apparently Well, we don't know what's going on. But that gives us more time to talk to Eddie the Bombardier Miller tonight, who is basking in the glow of an interview with a man. Listen, I mean, folks, this is no small fish. And, of course, in this radio program, we're not used to frying small fish. We like, you know, the 20-pound mud cats. But nevertheless, Robert Mazur, an absolutely outstanding guest. I say it at the risk of sounding repetitious, but this is an extremely important man, an extremely big player who has now made two appearances on this show in as many months. So that cannot be discounted.
You know, James, I'd like to just, I know, I've been knowing about this stuff for years. I still can't, it's different when you know about it and you have somebody like a DEA agent tell you. People, just to say it one more time, the Federal Reserve is dirty. The CIA is dirty. We have a government. We have a government inside a government in this country. We no longer have a government of the people's of the representatives that represents the people. We've lost total control of this country. And at a federal level, I see no hope of getting it back. They're just too big and too powerful and too rich. I mean, they have trillions of dollars to work against. You know, our 50 cents a day coming into the cesspool. I mean, we can't compete with that money wise. I think the only way we can get our country back is the same way Mazur survived all those years, by the grace of God. And I'm not trying to sound too religious, but with people, we need to hit our knees and pray for our country, pray for ourselves, because that's the only way we're going to get it back. I mean, you know, how are we going to compete against somebody like the Federal Reserve? I mean, they have all the money in the world. For God's sakes, they print the money. But that's, people, that's the kind of government we have. And listen, and contrary to what some of the other people say, and I differ with even some of my co-hosts on this. You got to get off this Republican Democratic paradigm, false paradigm. You got to get across, you know, into risk. I don't want to contradict anybody, but the liberals and conservatives. I mean, is it a liberal or conservative that smuggles drugs across the Mexican border to the United States? Is it a liberal or conservative that smuggles the weapons across? And was it a liberal or conservative that kills thousands and thousands of people down on the Mexican border every year because of these drugs? They come into the United States and kill American citizens. American ranchers and citizens are having to leave the, you know, Arizona and Texas borders in mass because they're being murdered and killed. They've lost control of their country, their farms down there they've had for generations. And the United States government, not only is the United States government not helping them, folks, get this. Our illustrious president, the alien in chief, he just pulled the border patrol back away from the border, people. Do you think maybe if you were going to rob a liquor store and you had the power to pull the Memphis, say, Jimmy and James go down and rob the liquor store down here, if we'd say, we're going to call the mayor and say, look, I want you to pull the police out of Bartlett tonight because we want to go down here and rob a liquor store. That's what it is. He doesn't want the border patrol down there. He doesn't want marshals. He wants to be able to go down there and do his dirty little criminal shenanigans unencumbered. And I make a prediction right here. Eric Holder is going to skate. He knows he's going to skate. He got away with murdering 168 people in the Murrah Trade Center building in Oklahoma City in 1995. He's going to get away with the murdering these thousands and thousands of people down here in Mexico. And to come back to the point that the Bob Mazur made, and the reason he's going to do it is because most of the Senate and the Congress, probably I'd say 80% of them, and if they don't like it, tough. They are corrupted by the drug money. The biggest contributions they have come from these banks, and the banks get it from the drug money. You take a look at the Clintons. That's where the Clintons got all their money. They got money from, you know, when they had the big drug operation going on over Mena, Arkansas, with him and Poppy Bush. You know, Poppy, a.k.a., because he deals in the poppies, when Poppy Bush was a director of the CIA, he was responsible for bringing in just tons and tons and tons of drugs from Afghanistan, Pakistan and Vietnam. I don't think he was a CIA agent in Vietnam, but he was an old dude by that time. I mean, it's been going on forever, folks. It's not going to stop until we stop it ourselves. And with that, folks, I think we're just about to run out of time right here. So I'm going to turn you back over to my little buddy boy, my little son, James Edwards.
Well, thank you, Eddie. I know that was therapeutic for you to get all that off your chest. And anyway, hey, I want to give everybody a quick update. Got a call from Keith during the commercial break. His son is being discharged. You didn't know that Keith's son was in the hospital tonight. Eddie gets in late and gets his news with the rest of you here on the cesspool. But no, everything's fine. He has been discharged now after a boating accident. And so there you have it. So Keith will be back and in full force next week. So thank God, prayers answered and tragedy averted there. Absolutely. And so anyway, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time tonight. But what a great What a great week. What a great night here in the Political Cesspool. Want to thank our guests, Pat Shannon, who'll be back with us next week, and of course, Bob Mazur, former DEA agent for Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Bill Rowland, Keith Alexander, and the rest of the crew here in Memphis and our network in Utah. I'm James Edwards. God bless you and keep you and live life the way we do. Why don't you? Without retreat, surrender, or apology. If you love our show, support our work by making a contribution at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. And until then, we'll see you next Saturday. Good night, everybody.